God has taken Max and Sherry Griner on an incredible spiritual journey, resulting in literally hundreds of authentic, documented miracles. The Griners' continuing spiritual pilgrimage, which began in September of 1976, has been the subject of newspaper, magazine, book, radio, television, and internet coverage around the world. In 1989, the artist began receiving invitations to share his remarkable testimonies at meetings, churches, universities, and seminaries across America. Often, when Max would share his usual stories, the Holy Spirit would work more miracles as he testified about Jesus and prayed publicly. These classic messages describe timeless spiritual truths, which Max illustrates with actual contemporary miracles. In many cases, these miracles have been documented and witnessed by hundreds of people who were present at the time. If you have ever wondered if God still supernaturally intervenes in today's world, or you need your own miracle, or you desire a richer walk with God, the Griner's testimony will bless you. Max's powerful testimony and his internationally collected Christian artwork are well known. For more information on his art or other inspiring messages from the Kerrville, Texas site at www.maxgrinerart.com. That's www.maxgrinerart.com. We believe God will touch you as you hear this testimony. We pray now in the name of Jesus Christ that the following true testimony will be used by God to bless you more than you can imagine. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Mr. Griner is a painter, a sculptor, and a jeweler with a design degree from Texas A&M. Where is Texas A&M? I've heard of that school. I can't quite remember. That's it. He has worked professionally since 1978 and gained a reputation mainly in wildlife and outdoor art. His work can be found in private and corporate collections in all 50 states and almost a dozen countries. And it's a real privilege for us to have him come and speak.
Good morning. I'd like to thank you and Dr. Cook for allowing me the privilege of addressing this body and for witnessing for Jesus Christ. If it's all right, I'd like to say a real quick little prayer, because the Holy Spirit promises to give us the words if we will stand up and witness for Jesus. So if you would, please bow with me for just a moment. Dear Father, you promise in your word to give us the words when we have the opportunity to witness before you and for you, Father. And I just ask that that you would give me the words and the spirit of truth, and that your Holy Spirit would be here, and Father, that you would just be glorified, and that you would just point all eyes and ears and hearts towards you, Father. And I just thank you, Father, for this university, and I just ask your blessings on this university, Father, in every way, all the students and the professors and the faculty and everyone involved. And I just thank you for the wonderful things you've done through this university already, and for all the wonderful things that that you've yet to do. And we just thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, thank you. I am a professional artist, and that is a sculpture out there is bronze, 1,200 pounds of bronze of Jesus washing Peter's feet. And I call it Divine Servant, and I didn't know I was going to be doing a sculpture of Jesus. I've been doing other things, as Dr. Cook stated. But I one day was driving home from the art gallery, and I felt that still, soft voice in my mind, and thought that was not my own, and it basically said, I want you to do a sculpture of Jesus washing Peter's feet. And it was so unexpected that I immediately responded back in my voice, but God, what about all these things I'm doing right now? And I heard myself talking back, and I really felt like that was from the Lord, and that same message continued to come back until finally a Methodist friend, Jim Beard, over in College Station, started calling up at all hours for the next 6 months saying, this is the Lord. You are supposed to stop what you're doing and do this sculpture of Jesus washing Peter's feet. And I'm stubborn, and so I had to stay in the well like Jonah for a while, and I didn't do what he said, but I eventually did. And I have been amazed at what he's done and the doors he's opened and the chances that he's given me to witness for him. And I would have never dreamed in a million years I'd be pulling a 1,200-pound bronze of Jesus around on a trailer behind my car across the country. But that's what I've been doing. And we just promised to put his will for our lives first and let everything else fall behind that. And that's what we've tried to do. I am a third-generation Southern Baptist. I was saved at age 7 down in Beaumont at Calder Street Baptist Church. I've been blessed with a great childhood, wonderful godly parents. I went to Texas A&M. My parents moved up here to Irving, and I found them, though, and came and was able to come back and join the First Baptist there with Dr. Kincaid. And I did get my degree in design, and my first loves were art and archery, and my high school sweetheart, Sherry, and got a good job, was one of the few graduates there that quickly got a job in architecture right after I got out, and I thank the Lord for that. And I was later to move into advertising, and everything was going along great, and I thought the world was just swell. I got married, and it still stayed swell for a while, but in 1977, God did something really special in my life, and it was up in Idaho, and it involved a black bear and a bow hunt with a bunch of Aggie friends up in Idaho, and I'm not going to go into all the details of that, but what happened in 1977 in September was that this Methodist friend, Jim Beard, witnessed to me about something that happened in his own life that was a miracle. And I knew Jim was honest and was a strong follower of Christ, but I did not know God was still working miracles. Now, I'd been saved since I was 7, but I did not know our God was still intervening in people's lives, still speaking personally to people. I did not know that. And he witnessed to me, and I was stunned. He left the room. At that moment, I leaned back on my sleeping bag, and I remember saying, God, if you ever want to talk to me, I'd love to listen. And at that moment, a thought came into my mind that was not my own, and I immediately recognized it as from the Lord. And it told me what the next 24 hours were going to be like and what was going to occur with people and bears and events, circumstances that only God could control. I couldn't hardly sleep that night. I went in the next morning and told everybody at breakfast and witnessed in front of 9 people. And I said, I think God told me last night this is what's going to happen today. Well, to make a long story short, it happened exactly like the Lord said. And recently, I had a scientist out at Southwest Research in San Antonio calculate on a computer the probability of these events occurring. And it was 330 billion to 1 that these events could occur. And not only did they occur, but I witnessed them in advance to all these people there. And that day was a very life-changing experience for me and a lot of the people on that mountain that day. And it was from that point that I realized our God was the same. He's always been the same. He's always spoken to his people and always worked miracles, and he still does. And I learned that, but to be honest, I didn't change very much. I started our business. We're very successful early in my art career, and actually, even before I reached 36, I think I'd sold over $1 million worth of my original artwork, and it seems like the blessings were coming everywhere, and everything was swell. But then in September of 83, the world started to fall apart for us. First, my wife got a life-threatening disease. Then the Texas economy collapsed. 95% of my art collectors went bankrupt. Then our marriage began to fall apart with the stress of the financial problems and the illness. And it all just began to come apart on us. And I remember at the lowest point, I said, God, I give up. I can't fix this with all the talent you've given me, with all the intelligence you've given me, with all of the good start that you've given me. I cannot fix any of this. And if you're going to save this, you're the only one that can do it. And I really just put it up to his hands, and it was at that point that God began the restoration, and he changed me, he humbled me, and the trials that we went through I began to identify with other folks in the Bible and other folks that walk this earth today that are dealing with trials, that I'd never been against any like that. And God really was sculpting me, which I was not so sure of at the time, and there was a lot of pain involved. But God used my parents and Christian friends to minister to us, to help us through some very difficult times. And it was in 1986 that message from the Lord came in about the divine servant sculpture. And it was at that humble time when I was willing to listen to whatever he said and wanted to go his way and not just my own way. And it was also that same year that the Lord gave me the Christian butterfly idea. And it's the fish with butterfly wings on it, where the tail of the fish becomes the antenna of the butterfly. And that, I felt the Lord gave me a vision on that. And that little butterfly is now in 60 million mail order catalogs and going all across the world. And my testimony is with each one of those butterflies. But it was at that point that he gave me the two ideas that I know came straight from him. And our situation slowly improved. And God worked small miracles that let us know that he was still there. But our problems were severe and serious. And we didn't see the big things being fixed, even though he was a loving God that showed us little things that said, I'm still here and I'm still working through this situation. But in April of 89, God began to lead us on a deeper walk. And I just have been amazed ever since that event. But what happened in April of 89, I was up in Idaho again at a hunting convention, showing my artwork. Wildlife art, nothing Christian, didn't have anything Christian at that point. And a man walked by my art display like 2,000 other people had done at this show, and the Holy Spirit spoke into my mind again in that still soft voice, and he said, ask this guy about some great miracle I've worked in his life. Well, there was a guy standing in front of me, a total stranger, and I said, excuse me, sir, this is going to sound crazy, but has God just worked some great miracle in your life? And his mouth fell open, and his son's mouth fell open, and sure enough, God had just healed him of an 8.5 year or 8 year afflictions, spinal arthritis, if I remember right. And he, I believe, was a Southern Baptist, and but he had gone over to a friend's church because the doctors couldn't help him. They prayed, they laid on hands, they prayed in the name of Jesus Christ, and all the pain left. Well, the guy left, and I gave him my story about my bear and figured maybe I was supposed to be sharing that with him because he had a lot of non-believing scientists that he worked with. He was head of Fish and Game Department, state of Idaho, head of hunter education. And I thought all that was for him. And I got home here to Irving, or to Kerrville, actually, and then called back to Irving. No, wait, let's see. I got to Kerrville. My mother called me. That's what it was. It was on a Sunday I flew in. On Monday morning, I got a call from my mother here in Irving. She was hysterical and crying. And she said, your dad's just been to the doctor. They think they may have to take out his heart and his lungs. He's got an incurable lung disease, and he does not have much of much hope. And she was really broke up at that point, and he was on the way to Houston to be considered for this heart transplant and lung. And God gave me that peace that's beyond understanding that talks about in the Bible. And I told my mom, I said, Mom, I don't know why, but God just went way out of his way to show me he's still working miracles and healing people. And she didn't even hear that, but because she was so distraught. But in any event, God got my attention. And you see, I didn't have a need for a miraculous healing when God told me I'm still doing this. It was after I got home and I found out I do need it. I do need your help, Lord, and with my dad. And the next thing that happened was in July of 89, we were at Atlanta at the Christian Booksellers Convention. And through a strange set of circumstances, God led us to pray a prayer of total yielding to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and to ask for whatever gifts he would have for us. Now, I've been saved since I was 7, and I invited him into my heart, and he has always been there. But I had never submitted my will to him in prayer. I'd heard people talk about it, but I'd never done that personally. And we prayed a prayer in Jesus' name, that to try to submit to the Lord's leadership in our life and to ask for whatever gifts that he might have for us. And the most amazing things started happening. In September of 1989, I was at San Antonio at a meeting of the American Bell Association, And to begin to make a long story short, it was a secular meeting. A man was about to go in for surgery. I felt the Holy Spirit say, offer a prayer for this man. He was very distraught. There was five of us in the room. We held hands, and we just prayed in Jesus' name that God would heal this man. And God healed him, his wife, and a Southern Baptist missionary that was holding our hands. All we did was just pray in the name of Jesus like the Word said, and in front of our eyes, God actually healed three people at one time. Well, as you can imagine, this got my attention, and I thought, God, am I losing my mind? Are all these people lying to me? What is their motives for that? And there was none, and we had all witnessed a wonderful thing, and since that, all sorts of really neat things God has been doing, big and small. And since that prayer of yielding to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, God's voice has been more clear, and it has been more frequent. And I would just like to share a couple of real recent things that he's done, that he's doing all kinds of things. We bought land in Kerrville. We wanted to build a house out in the country. I designed a passive solar earth-sheltered house. The economy collapsed, and we wound up living in a mobile home that was just supposed to be temporary for a long time. And that mobile home started wearing out, and we never were able to afford to build the house that we had dreamed about. And then in June of 91, this past June, we found out through an odd circumstance that there were some townhouses in town that were going to be up available with the government RTC auctions, and that seemed kind of coincidental, and Sherry and I talked about it, and we still didn't know if we would rather live in town in a nice townhouse than out in the country in a crummy mobile home. But so we lifted that up to the Lord. We knew we had a daughter that was starting school, and it was a 30-minute drive, and we knew from a logical sense we ought to be in town, but we really didn't know the right thing. So we said, God, if you want us to move into town, would you make that happen? Would you open the doors? And we put it up to you. Well, we made an offer on one of these townhouses, and we were supposed to have heard the answer at a certain date. Well, that date went past, and 2 weeks went by, and then one morning I woke up, and I felt the Holy Spirit tell me, today is the day you're going to hear about the townhouse. I went into the room, the kitchen, and I told my wife, Sherry, I said, Sherry, I think God just told me today is the day we're going to hear about the townhouse. I went to work at the gallery at 3 o'clock. The phone rang. The people said, they've accepted your bid, which was a very low bid because we did not have a lot of money to work with. I called Sherry up about an hour later, and I said, Sherry, we got the call. They've accepted our bid. She said, what time did the call come in? And I said, well, honey, it was right at 3 o'clock. She said, well, I was across town at 3 o'clock, and I felt the Holy Spirit speak into my mind and say, the call's being made right this moment. You got the townhouse. Now, God gave us his signature on that. He let us know he did that. It wasn't just coincidence. It wasn't just good fortune. You know, God did that little signature to let us know he arranged that. And you might find it of interest to know that the next lowest bid they accepted on an identical townhouse unit was $25,500 more than we offered. And so we know that was the Lord. And another thing that happened just real recently, we were on the way to Orlando, the Christian Booksellers Convention again this year. We stopped off at my wife's house in Port Arthur. I had the big sculpture on the back, and we visited, and then we were going to head on to Orlando, and her neighbor ran across the street, or walked across the street, Miss Dion, who was 80-something years old, and she'd watched Sherry and I date all these years in Port Arthur, and she, you know, was just excited about the sculpture and seeing us, and we were about to leave and going to say a prayer and ask God to protect us and the sculpture on the way to Orlando. Well, she was standing right there, and I looked down, and below the hem of her dress was the most ugly-looking, open-running sore right below her knee. And it was just very distracting to me. And if her dress hadn't have been the hem height that it was, I wouldn't have even seen it. But there it was, and it just, like, my attention was focused on that. And I felt that little voice again say a prayer for Miss Dion. So I said, "Miss Dion, you believe in God, don't you?" She said, "Yes, I do." And I said, "You believe in Jesus as God, don't you?" And she said, "Yes, I do." And I said, "Well, would you mind if we just said a prayer for you? Because we're about to say a prayer." And she said, "That would be fine." And so we just held hands, Sherry's parents and Miss Dion and my daughter. In Jesus' name, would you please protect us and heal Miss Dion's legs. And in Jesus' name, thank you. And we got in the car and went on to Orlando. We got back to Port Arthur a month later. And we pulled in the driveway and we weren't there 2 minutes. And Miss Dion comes running across the street. And she says, "Look at my leg. God's healed me." And I said, "Wow." And I looked down, and there was just a little tiny scab. And I said, "Listen, let's pray again and thank the Lord." We prayed again. I said, "God, thank you for healing Miss Dion's leg. And there's a little scab left there. Would you get that, please?" And then I said, "Miss Dion, what was that anyways?" And she said, "That's milk leg." And I said, "What is milk leg?" She said, "I've had it since 1924. And that the doctors had wanted to even amputate my leg, and I wouldn't let them do it. And I've lived with this my whole life." I got back to Kerrville. I asked my best friend, Dr. Phil Webb, who's a deacon in our Baptist church there in Trinity Baptist in Kerrville, and I said, "What is milk leg?" And he said that we wasn't sure, but it sounded like it was a chronic genetic infection of the bone, a deep infection of the bone that antibiotics do not treat very well. And so the fluid comes out and bursts in open sores. And that's what it was. And the another miracle that we don't understand that the Lord worked. But the something really neat happened. And I was praying about this this talk this last week and saying, "God, what do I say to these people?" And I didn't know He had something else planned. But I was at the Luis Palau Crusade all this last week in San Antonio, and I had been invited to show the sculpture, and 8,000 people a night were coming. And I was standing next to my sculpture, and on Friday night at 6:30, a lady walked up on crutches, aluminum permanent crutches, and like thousands of other people had. And that little voice came back and said, "Say a prayer for this lady." Total stranger. And I looked at her and I said, "Ma'am, would you mind if I said a prayer and ask God to bless you?" She said, "No, that'd be fine." And so we just held hands right there in front of about 100 to 200 people. And I said, "Dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, would you just please bless this lady and please heal this lady in Jesus' name?" And I said, "How do you feel?" She said, "Well, the pain's less." And I said, "Oh, you're in pain?" She said, "Well, ever since the van hit me 8.5 years ago and broke 16 bones in my body, I've been in chronic pain my whole life." And I said, "Well, let's pray again." And so we prayed again, and she said the pain was less. We prayed a third time, and she said it's even less. She thanked me. She turned to walk away, and as she did, I said, "Ma'am, if all that pain goes away, now you let me know, okay?" She said, "All right." And I turned to talk to other people last Friday night, and about a minute went by, and all of a sudden, from about 30 yards away, I hear this, "Sir, sir, all the pain is gone." And I looked over to the corner of the room right there in the lobby of the Luis Palau Crusade, and 100 other people looked over, and there was this lady. She had given her crutches to her son, and she began to walk across the lobby in front of 100 witnesses. And I was stunned like everybody else. She got up to me and said, and here's what she said. She said, "I got over there, I started leaving, and as I left you, I felt God lengthen my shoulder, lengthen my leg." And she pointed to her knees and said, "Look, my knees are the same level. I had a leg that was an inch or a half, inch and a half shorter than the other one." And it was amazing. And it just caught all of our attention. And I said, "Let me get your name." And I want to know who this person was. So she wrote down her name, Anita Dorr. And she went on into the crusade, into the Coliseum, and I looked over at the wall, and there was a black policeman standing there, about, as far as here to the piano. I looked him in the eye, and I said, "You saw the whole thing, didn't you?" And he said, "Yeah, I did." And I said, "Do you know God?" And he said, "No, I don't. I'm pretty skeptical. I don't really believe there's a God." And I said, "Well, there is. And for some reason, He just lets you see a miracle that very few people get to see. You saw the prayer. You saw the miracle. And Jesus is knocking on your door, and He wants to come into your life." And he said, "Well, I'm pretty skeptical." And I said, "Well, don't you know, don't wait too long, because he wants to come into your heart. And it was, you know, all that week I had wanted to tell Dr. Palau about the neat things God was doing in our life, but I'd had a check in my spirit that I should not tell him. I should wait. And I didn't, you know, I was anxious. When God does something really wonderful in your life, you want to share it, but you got to wait on the Holy Spirit and the right time to tell you. And finally, after this lady had got healed, she came back by, and she'd been making laps around the arena. She hadn't walked in 8.5 years without crutches, and now she's making laps around the arena. Okay? I couldn't wait any longer. I said, Holy Spirit, I got to let Dr. Palau at least know that a miracle was God's worked a miracle right out in front of his crusade. So I wrote a note, and I did not know him personally well enough. I'd met him to go up to the VIP room, which at that time I hadn't been invited to. I wrote the note, and I decided just to go try to find the VIP room to have it passed to him. As I left, I went about 20 feet. I went through a door and started to go up some stairs, and there was Dr. Palau and his entourage and all of his bodyguards. And I looked up, and I said, Dr. Palau, I'm the artist. And he goes, yes, I know. Dr. Plow, God just worked a real neat miracle and healed a crippled lady right in the lobby about 30 minutes ago, and I thought you'd like to know about that. And I handed it to him, and all the bodyguards' mouths were open about this wide. And so he went on in, gave a wonderful talk, as he did every night, and a lot of souls were brought into the kingdom. And the next night I was there, and a man came up and said, would you like to come up to the VIP room and meet Dr. Palau and talk to Dr. Palau? And I said, yes, I'd love to do that. And I said, thank you, Holy Spirit. And I went up and I had a chance to meet with him and witness and share that God is a real God. He's still working miracles in today's world. If he ever healed anybody, he still does. If he ever worked a miracle, he still does. The Word says he's the same today and forever. And we just miss a lot of opportunities because we don't ask. The book says, you know, ask and you shall receive. It says, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. I mean, there's a lot out there in the kingdom that the Lord wants to give us, but we have to be open to receive. And what I'd just like to ask you to do today is first receive Jesus. And that means receive him into your heart. I mean, you can go to church, you can be a deacon in the church, you can do everything and still not be saved. If you haven't asked Jesus into your heart, then you're not going to heaven. You need to do that. That's the most important decision in your life. And if you know, I want to give an invitation in just a moment and ask that if you haven't done that, you need to do that. The other thing that I'd like to ask you to do, if you're already saved, is yield 100% to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. Let him direct you. Listen for his voice. And really what that is just a prayer of yielding and asking for whatever gifts he might want to give you. And he's a good God, and he always gives good gifts. And I'd just like to pray. And if you don't know him, okay. God, just please come into my heart. I want to know you in a personal way. I want to yield my life to you. I just ask in the name of Jesus for whatever gifts that you would have for me, that you would just give me those gifts. And Father, I just yield and make the effort to yield my life to your direction. And I just thank you, Father, for saving me. I just thank you, Father, for loving me and for forgiving me. And, Father, for using me as a vessel to share the truth about Jesus. I just thank you in Jesus Christ's name for what you've done today and what you're going to do in the future. In his name we pray. Amen. Now, if any of you prayed that prayer in your hearts, and have accepted Jesus for the first time, he asked us to acknowledge him before men, if he is to acknowledge us before the Father. And so I just ask that if you prayed that prayer, or you prayed the second prayer to yield your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, I think they're going to we're going to play some music or something. If you would just come down to the front, and I think there's somebody here, but you need to know the Lord, and he's knocking right now. And would you just receive him? And he's knocking on your heart right now. One thing to consider is, where are you going to be in 1,000 years? And so if there's any of you, yield to that voice. And it's like a conscience. It's like a little thought in your head that just says, now's the time. Come down. So if there are any of you that haven't done that, come down for Jesus. Are any of you here that would like to yield to the Lord 100% in your walk? If there are, would you come down? Thank you. Thank you. I'm kind of new at this. I'm just an artist. But if you would, just if you want to yield your life 100% to the use of Jesus Christ, and you haven't done that already, and I know some of you already have, but if you have not prayed that prayer with the Lord, then would you just do that today? And I can promise you the ride's going to be exciting, and you'll never be sorry, and he's a wonderful God. And but everything is free will. He doesn't force us. He doesn't force us to receive him. He doesn't force us to use the gifts he gives us. It's all up to us. If there anybody else that he's tugging on their heart right now, if you would just come down and we'll pray. Okay, well, I thank you, and let's just close with a quick prayer. Father God, I thank you for being here today in your Holy Spirit, and I thank you for touching the hearts, Lord. And God, we don't do things right very often, but I just thank you for your forgiveness and for your love and for your patience with us, Father. And just direct each one of us in the name of Jesus, and just bless every person, Father, in this whole auditorium. And Lord, I would just ask in the name of Jesus that you would even now pour out your healing virtue and your delivering power. If there's somebody here that needs a touch from you, that you would just do that, God. And I just thank you that you're a miracle-working God that loves us and is the same today and forever. In Jesus' name I pray and thank you. Amen.
Thank you for inviting my wife and I tonight to witness for Jesus and be a witness for Jesus. This is the first time we've had the opportunity to share with a Women's Aglow organization or club, and I understand it's okay to share everything that's happened to us with you. Not everywhere I go I can do that. I also, my wife and I, want to thank many of you in the room that have been praying for us, specifically for my wife and my daughter and me and the business, and we really appreciate those prayers and the encouragement we've received from so many folks that don't happen to be Southern Baptist, even, that we just can find it hard to believe that these other churches and denominations are doing all this praying for us, but we really appreciate it, and we especially appreciate the words of wisdom that many of you have shared. And we're trying to have a teachable spirit and trying to listen to what's said and judge it against the Word. And what we've been hearing is from the folks that the Lord's pointed us to has been very helpful, and we just thank you for that. Some of you in the room have heard the testimony, or some of the testimony that I've shared at several places around the community here in Kerrville. And I won't really repeat in detail a lot of that. And since I can't share a lot of things everywhere, I was going to share some of those other things with you. But probably I need to give a little bit of a background. You know, it's ironic, we've learned through all this, what God's been doing in our life, that if you tell the truth, many folks think you're crazy or you're nuts, and we've learned that you have to kind of be sensitive to who you're supposed to share with and when to keep your mouth shut. And that's kind of something that's hard for me, but I'm not sure why God gave us this testimony he's given us. It's his. We didn't pick it and choose it or plan it, but it seems to be somewhat of a nitroglycerin testimony depending on where I'm speaking. And I don't understand all of this, and I know many of you, or most of you, maybe all of you, have got a lot more experience with this walk with Christ maybe than when we do. But to us, it's pretty amazing, and we don't understand all the miracles, and we can't explain why and when and where exactly how all this happens the way it does. But it's the Lord. We know that. And since something kind of unusual happened to us a couple of years ago, God started working miracles, and we just prayed in Jesus' name, and doctors have been healed, and nurses have been healed, dentists, Southern Baptist missionaries, a lot of highly educated folks, folks that not real sure about this stuff. It's what's been kind of interesting, mainly Southern Baptist, and so we're all kind of amazed, and we just sit in amazement at what God does, and that the Word really means what it says. And again, there's a lot that we don't know, but I would like to share a little bit about what God's done in our life. One thing that we started doing, so much has been happening that I've started a prayer journal, and that's a good idea. I think maybe everybody else already thought that, but my memory's not so good, but we found it a real blessing to, as God directs people and as we say prayers and do things, I'm just recording it, and then all of a sudden, a year later or 6 months later, I find out that sure enough, God worked a miracle and all these things have happened, and it's been neat, and we're really trying to kind of track that. We have been getting invitations to speak all around the United States and at all kinds of places, and I have, a lot of the testimonies have been recorded, and the folks over at Grace have been kind enough to make copies of these testimonies. I've put them all on a couple of tapes, and there's a whole lot of different kinds of miracles that have happened that are on those two tapes, and if somebody would like those, they said at Grace they'd be happy to give you copies of them, and I think they're just asking for a donation to the church, like $3 or something to the church. But if any event, if somebody would like the other things that I really won't share in detail here, I thank you, or would direct you to Grace. I am, I think, pretty normal, happy childhood, great parents, Christian parents. Grew up in Texas, was blessed with good teachers, good friends, good mentors, and I look back now, and a lot of them were very much hand-selected by the Lord. I was saved at 7 years old, Southern Baptist. I'm third generation. This past December, Southern Baptist for 40 years, which is a significant number in the Bible, Dr. Carpenter reminded me of, and so maybe that's why some of these things are happening. But, you know, pretty standard childhood, Eagle Scout, got involved with art very early, involved in archery, bow hunting, canoeing, backpacking, married my wife in 1975, and God set that up too, and she was praying for me and I was praying for her, and God worked that all out together, and I'm just thankful that God put us together. And that one thing that's really neat is how God brings husbands and wives along together with this, and it's a good thing, because boy, that it's one thing when everybody else thinks you're nuts, but when your own wife thinks you're nuts, that's worse. And but something happened in 1977 with a black bear and a Methodist in Idaho, and from that point on, I found out that God was still a miracle working God, and that really introduced us to that side of the Lord, which we did not know up until that time. But in 1978, we started a full-time art business here in Texas, and July the 4th, 1981, moved to Kerrville, which was kind of our dream of moving in the here and living with those deer and turkeys and rocks out in the hills, and that's what we did, and bought some property, and this is really where Sherry and I wanted to be. And life was great. Everything was going good. My art was selling out, my paintings and sculptures and jewelry and all the things I was doing were selling just about as fast as I could make them. And I was doing everything I wanted to do, and I was really not, I guess, as sensitive to the Lord as I should have been as to what His agenda was. I pretty well had my agenda, but then in September of 1983, we hit some rough water that we'd never hit before, And my wife got a life-threatening disease. That's about the time all the economy started to crater. Ultimately, like 95% of my art collectors went bankrupt, the majority of which were millionaires. And that all started to come down, and that put stress on our marriage and our relationship, and all the wheels started coming off the wagon. And I couldn't fix any of them, you know, with all the talent God had given me and the whatever intelligence I have and effort I put into it. It wasn't working, and it got to a point where a humbling had to occur. And at that point, when I was about to lose everything, couldn't help fix anything, I kind of got down on my knees and said, God, I give up. You know, if you're going to save this whole deal, it's got to be you, but you got to move fast because it's coming down. And what was happening was God was changing me. And I really didn't think I was the one that needed to be changed, but he did. And, he was sculpting me. And really what I kind of realized, he just was chipping away anything that didn't look like Jesus. And that was a slow process. It wasn't a snap-your-fingers deal. I thought, well, let's just go to the Lord with this, snap your fingers, all problems erased. But he didn't do that. But he did start working small little miracles that encouraged us as we struggled with all the things we were struggling with. And Christian friends and parents came to our aid, and we worked through a lot of stuff. And it was at this time of humbling and real serious trials that the Lord gave me two ideas, which I believe came straight from him. The divine servant sculpture idea, which came in 1986 in the spring. And Jesus washing Peter's feet. I think it was trying to teach me something about servanthood and humility. I had no idea that was a concept he wanted to share beyond me, but it certainly has turned out that he's been using the sculpture that way to touch other people's heart about that part of the Christian message, which a lot of us don't aren't real comfortable with, I guess. But I think it's a message God wants out, and I'm just thankful he used my hands, gave me the idea to do it. The other idea was a Christian butterfly, the fish with the butterfly wings. And those two ideas really have been, you know, when he gave them, I didn't really recognize them for what they were until time played out. But they really, God was kind of throwing us a life preserver, and we didn't notice it at the time as this economy went down. It's really what has been helping us and keeping us above water. And it's ironic, or I guess it's God, the way he kind of pries your fingers off of one thing and gives you something else to hold on to. And but in July of 1989, something real strange happened. And in Atlanta, we were at the Christian Booksellers Association convention, and God started doing some real strange things. And again, I won't go into that whole story here, but what happened was he put me with a Presbyterian, or an ex-Presbyterian, that said there's more. And I said, I don't believe there's more. And my dad had a life-threatening illness. The doctor said he wouldn't live, and it was incurable, and 2 years to live. And I knew God had brought me to this point with a stranger named Bill Banks out of Missouri, has a little Christian bookstore. And in any event, Sherry and I prayed this prayer for a second experience. Well, actually, we prayed the prayer for whatever God had. That's the way he put it. He said, would you like to have everything God has for you? And I said, sure. And he said, would you ask him for whatever gifts he'd want to give you? And I said, sure, that's a safe Baptist prayer. And so we prayed that prayer, and Sherry and I, and man, hadn't been the same since. And it's just, he has apparently decided to do some things and use my wife and I at times as vessels to pour out his love on his people. And you got me. We don't have all the answers. We don't have all the background in a lot of this. I mean, we've studied the Word through our Baptist denomination, and which I'm thankful for, the study on the Word. What we're having to do, though, is take some of those scriptures a little more literally than maybe we had before, because when he says, you know, signs and wonders will follow those that believe, and when he says, you know, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, that still happens. And he started opening doors for us to share our testimony, and the divine servant sculpture really was kind of the key to that door. And as I said, we're getting the chance and being invited to speak at churches and universities and seminaries and meetings all over the country in all denominations, from the biggest Baptist churches in the country to the biggest Pentecostal churches in the country. And even the Dallas Baptist University got to speak to the whole student body. And over at Dallas Theological Seminary, believe it or not, even was invited to witness there and show the sculpture. And some of the places, of course, that are inviting me, they don't know about the testimony that comes with the sculpture. And so that's kind of a surprise to some of them. But I do pray about it, and I try to put it in terms that who I'm speaking with can receive, because there's some things that make us Southern Baptists real nervous. And the trick is to get the truth out in love, where the doors don't come down first before you can even get the truth out. And anyhow, God's, you know, kind of made this sculpture that just opens doors everywhere. And even we've had the chance in the secular press, the newspapers and the national radio and television, that we've had the opportunity to witness. And you know, some of them think it's a real odd thing that we would worship a God that would wash our feet. And that's been some of the reasons we've had the coverage, I think, is it was such a curiosity that we would follow a guy like that. And in any event, before this second experience thing, which we quickly became convinced was real, and some people call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit, before it really occurred and before we received it, the Lord had put this thought in my head that said, start going to lunch with your pastor, Dr. Bill Blackburn, who's a really fine man of God that's with our church at Trinity Baptist here in Kerrville. And before all this started happening in 1989 in spring, God put us together, and we were going to lunch, nothing was happening, and then, boom, all these things started happening, and Bill was right there with me every step of the way, and God had set that whole thing up. We'd been members of the church for 10 years, and had not gone, had that real personal relationship, but all of a sudden, God put that together, and it was real amazing how he did that. And right after we prayed to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I got back and witnessed to Bill about, and to give him my testimony about how this lady artist friend, her leg grew out and she got healed of 3 hip replacements. And we prayed this prayer, and I shared that with him. And then I said, Bill, does this mean I'm charismatic? And he says, well, I think that's what that might mean. And because we also shared that for some reason this funny language manifested too. And I said, Bill, what's the definition of charismatic anyways? Because we really weren't real sure what the definition of charismatic. And he said, well, it means the Spirit of God flows through you. And I said, well, that's not bad, is it, Bill? And he said, no, that's not bad. The Spirit of God should flow through all believers. And that's kind of how it started. And but the water did get deeper pretty quickly. And as God worked miracles, we would witness them to the Sunday school class. And in August of '89, again, just a month after we had, you know, prayed the prayer for the baptism, I said, God, I don't know anybody in this town I can talk to. Can you find somebody locally here that's not a long-distance call that I can talk to about this stuff? And it was right then that God brought Dr. Robbie Carpenter into my life, which was really neat, because he was a former Southern Baptist and a member of my own church. And when God does stuff, he does it really well. And put that together, so I had somebody that I could ask all these zillion questions of. And Sherry and I went over to their house and asked Carol and Robbie just about everything we could think of. And but chance to share a testimony with, like Dr. Fanning, Buckner Fanning in San Antonio, and James Robinson and John Hagee and Benny Hinn and Mark Rutland and Pat Robertson and Jim Buick, of the CEO of Zondervan, and people that would never dreamed in a million years I'd have the chance to even see in person. And all of a sudden, God sovereignly kind of puts them in our path, and we're able to bless each other. And I just would like to share one example of how God can kind of use a person if he's just willing to just stand there and be a volunteer. And we were in January of 1990, Sherry and I went to Trinity, to our church, for a pizza party for the youth. Sherry wanted to take my daughter Shay, who's a little younger than, to this pizza party. We get there, and it's not her age youth, it's the older youth. And Sherry's disappointed, and we said, well, what else is going on at the church tonight? And there's a bunch of people here. Well, there's a guy speaking. Turns out there was Dr. Tom Lee, from Southwestern Seminary who was speaking on the books of Acts. He was an expert on Acts. And I turned to Sherry and I said, this may not be an accident. And so we decided we'd stay for church. And I said, if you want us to share what's happening with us, with Dr. Lee, you'll have to make it happen. And it was right then that thought came in my head that says, you do the natural thing, I'll do the supernatural thing. And I said, okay, Lord. And so I sat through his whole talk, didn't ask a question, didn't do anything. And I waited until everybody had kind of left him and he was over by himself. And I said, I'd go up and introduce myself. And as on the way up, I got this thought that came in my mind that said, gave me the question. Here's what I asked him when I walked up. I said, why is it we Baptists are always praying for a move of the Holy Spirit, and when it finally happens, we're all afraid? And he cocked his head and he looked at me and he said, what do you mean? And I said, well, strangest things have been happening to Sherry and I, and God's been working miracles and healing people here in the church, and some of them are doctors and highly educated folks, and it's wonderful stuff, but everybody's afraid of us. He was listening there, and all of a sudden Bill grabbed him by the shoulder and said, come over here, I need to show you something. And so we had about 2 minutes with him, and I remember Sherry kind of getting a little disgruntled about that, and I said, it's okay, honey, if God's in this, he's going to work all that out. I said, I'll go back the next night and I won't say a thing, and I kind of put the fleece out with the Lord. I said, Lord, if you want me to give my testimony to Dr. Lee, if you want me to share about this baptism of the Holy Spirit thing, I'm not going to look at him eye to eye. I'm not going to talk to him. I'm not going to ask any questions. If you want me to share with him, you need to bring him to me. And I will then know I'm not in the flesh and that it's what you want to do. And so the next night I went back, and he spoke for a while, and then we broke for dinner, and there were about 150 people, and I got in the dinner line with 150 people. I was turned around talking to some folks. All of a sudden there's this tap on my shoulder, and it was one of the folks at Trinity, and they said, excuse me, Max, but could you let Dr. Lee and his wife cut in line in front of you? And I turned around and I said, sure, that'd be fine. And then Dr. Lee turned around and said, Max, would you sit with us and have dinner and sit at our table? And I said, okay, Lord, that's good enough for me. And so for the next hour at the table, I was able to share my testimony with him and how God was doing some of these neat things. Before it was over, I was able to give him some of a tape recording of some of the testimony we had given and some of the letters from some of the people that God had, healed. And God set that whole thing up. We didn't force it. He just did it. Another opportunity came here real recently when God did something real special. And I've shared, in length this testimony at several places here in Kerrville. But I was at the Luis Palau Crusade in San Antonio. And I felt, again, that there was a possibility God wanted me to share some of these miracles with Dr. Palau. And so I prepared a package of the two testimony tapes that we had and the letters from the people and put them in an envelope with his name on it. Well, I had an envelope with my art stuff, too. And right going in, I had the chance to meet him. As I pulled in with the big bronze, I'd been invited to show the sculpture there. And all of a sudden, he's there at the same time with all his bodyguards, and he introduces himself to me. I introduce myself to him and takes a picture and all that stuff. And then he's off with his bodyguards. And so I kept getting this check in my spirit, not yet. I'd actually met the man now and had, at least he knew who I was. But it was always, wait. Well, I didn't know what God had planned, but on Friday night at 6:30 on October the 4th, this cripple lady walked up with aluminum crutches, and I just felt that little voice say a prayer for this lady. And thousands of people had been around, but all of a sudden I heard this, this thought in my head that wasn't my own that said, say a prayer for this lady. So I said to this total stranger, can I say a prayer for you? And she said, well, sure, that'd be fine. So I said, God, would you bless this lady and heal her in the name of Jesus Christ? Amen. Again, we don't know much more really to do with all this than all the things you're supposed to say, but kind of really straight and simple. God, please heal her in Jesus' name. Thank you. And she smiled, and I said, do you feel something? She said, yeah, the pain's less. Well, I just recently I found out that she said that on a scale of 1 to 10, the pain immediately dropped from a 9 to a 5 after the first prayer. And then we said, well, let's pray again. Prayed a second time. She said it dropped down to a 2 or a 1. Prayed a third time. She said it dropped down to about a 1 and a half. And she said, thank you, young man, for praying for me. And she turned to walk away. Well, what had happened to this lady, she told me later, was that she'd been run over by a van in San Antonio at the bus stop near North Star Mall 8.5 years ago. Broke 16 bones in her body, been in pain every day of her life since then. And having real financial problems too, no father in the family. We're trying to raise a young man, her son, and you know, lots of problems. And but all of a sudden, God had taken away all this pain, or most of it. She walked away, and I turned to talk to other people at the sculpture, and all of a sudden I hear this woman's voice going, sir, sir, sir. Everybody in the room looked. This was right at the arena at the convention center in San Antonio, going into the entrance. Everybody turns and looks, you know, wondering if they're the one the lady's calling for. And here's this lady, and I see her hand her crutches to her son. Well, 2 weeks ago, we found out what happened in that moment. She said that she got over there, she felt all the pain leave, and she said she felt this voice come into her head, this thought in her head that said, Anita, get rid of those crutches. So she did. She handed them to her son. And when she took that step of faith, all the pain left, and she said she felt her shoulder grow out and her leg grow out, and all the pain went away in a flash. And you know what was so neat was she was 30 yards over there. She yelled. She walked all the way across to me without the crutches, and everybody's watching. And there's a policeman standing right there, 6 feet away, watching the whole deal. He saw the prayer and the miracle. And so she gets up to me, and she just was excited as could be. And she also told me here last weekend, which now is, you know, about 3 or 4 months since God healed her, she said that also the doctors can't find any evidence anymore of the heart murmur she had. Plus, she apparently doesn't have depression anymore. And so God kind of did the whole 9 yards when he did that deal. And she was also able to tell me this last weekend that she had 2 prayers when she came to Luis Palau Crusade. One was that her son would be saved, which he was on Saturday. And the other prayer was that he would heal her, which she was on Friday. And so that's really neat. And then just 2 weeks ago, she invited us to come down to her son's baptism, and I went down to San Antonio, and we did that, and it was really kind of interesting too, because after that, I said, where do you want to go eat? And her son said, let's go to Luby's. And I figured we would pick McDonald's like my daughter always picks. And but anyways, so we said, where do we go? And they drove to a McDonald's. We drove to a Luby's right there at North Star Mall. We looked for a parking place, couldn't find one where we thought we could even use her handicap permit that she had, because she still had the permit even though she wasn't handicapped anymore. And couldn't find a parking place. Finally, we find a parking place, pull in. She goes, right there is where I got run over 8.5 years ago. And God brought us to the point where she had been run over 8.5 years ago. And I happened to have my camera, and I said, let me get a picture of this. So I got a picture of her and her son right there on the spot where she had been run over by that man 8.5 years ago. So, I mean, God really gets it down to the little details, you know, just the finest little points. And what was neat about all that was, you know, finally after she got healed, I said, now, Holy Spirit, can I tell Dr. Palau now? And I got this, it's okay, now. You know, now, and so I didn't know him personally, but and I knew there was a VIP room. I wrote a note to somebody I knew and said, I just thought y'all might like to know or might share with Dr. Palau that God just healed a lady in his lobby. And I didn't know where the VIP room was, but they said it's that way. And I said, big convention center, I'll never find this thing. And I turned and went through the glass doors about 20 feet, took a step up the steps, and I looked up, and here was Dr. Palau and all of his entourage and bodyguards and, you know, 20 people coming down the steps. And here I am at the bottom, with my mouth open this time, and I go, and they all stop. I mean, because they didn't know if I was a, you know, a terrorist or whatever coming running up these steps, but they recognized me, and I said, Dr. Playa, I'm the artist, and he said, yes, I know, and I said, you know, God just worked a miracle right out in your lobby and healed the lady, and I just thought you'd like to know about it, and everybody's mouth fell open, and he said, thank you, and then he went on into the crusade, and did that night, matter of fact, mention that God still can heal people without doctors. He certainly works through doctors in medicine, but he also is capable of doing it without doctors if he chooses, and he acknowledged that in front of 10,000 people that night. So anyways, the next night I was there standing by my sculpture, and somebody came down and said, would you like to come up and meet with Dr. Palau in the VIP room? And I said, this is it, and it's Holy Spirit. And so I grabbed my packet that I'd been holding, and I got up there, and I shared with him just a few minutes. There were a lot of people wanting to meet him and check hands with him. But after I shared just a little bit, here's what he said. He said, if you're giving God the glory for these people that are getting healed, and these people are giving God the glory for getting healed, he says, you keep praying. And that was his advice. And I just thank you for the opportunity to witness tonight. And again, I'll share some stuff tonight that I haven't been able to share at some of the other places. There are a lot of neat things that the Lord has done. And I just like to pray for this group here together as a whole body, and then however we want to do it, and y'all want to do it following, we'll do that. But I know this isn't me. I mean, God's healed some people over the telephone. He's healed some people, and we prayed for a lady that didn't know anything about folks praying for her. I mean, it's not us, and it's not that we have to lay hands on you or anybody else. It's, you know, Jesus lays hands. The neat thing about all this, we have not anointed anybody with oil yet. I know that's in the book, and I know we're supposed to do that, and when God sets that up, I will. But mainly, he's been directing me to people that get real nervous with the oil anointing. And all we did was just hold hands. So it's not a formula, A, B, C, D, check off the block kind of thing. God's really interested in your heart, and he's the one that touches you. And I think the reason he does this laying on of hands and wants us to do that is because when you do that and when people pray and somebody gets well, somebody gets healed, they have a real hard time denying, you know, that God should get the credit. I mean, because when you pray and a miracle happens, you have to deal with that reality that a miracle just happened. You can't write it off as coincidence. And I think that's part of what that is. But if I could, let me just close with a prayer. Father, thank you for being here tonight. Holy Spirit, we thank you for being here tonight. Jesus, we thank you for being here tonight. God, I thank you for the ministry of this organization all over the world. I thank you for the love that's expressed through this ministry. I thank you for the people that you've anointed throughout Women's Aglow organization. God, we would just ask that you would continue in that anointing and just use this organization powerfully. And Lord, just give them the words to reach out to the denominations and the churches that are normally not too easy to reach. Just give them the words so that they can share the truth and love. And God, I would just ask that your blessings be on every person here tonight, that if there's needs for finances and financial needs, that you would just work a miracle in each life to provide that, Lord, and you promised to provide our daily needs. And Lord, we'd like to stack it up in a big pile if we could, but just if you're not going to give it to us in a big pile, would you just give us the faith we need to trust you every day for what you're going to provide. And Lord, I know Moses had to wait every day for his manna, and I know that teaches us faith in you. And I just thank you for providing that manna and for meeting the needs in a miraculous way of those that are here tonight, Lord. And God, I would pray for physical illnesses now in the name of Jesus. I would ask that if there's anybody here tonight that is dealing with something in their life, that you would just touch them. That even at this moment, you would just pour out your love through the power of your Holy Spirit, and that you would just heal whatever needs to be healed, Lord. And God, if it's more than physical, if it's emotional or spiritual, I would ask that you would just touch them at this moment too. And if there is something that needs to be done, some blocks that need to be removed, some forgiveness that needs to be forgiven, some repentance, that you would just lay that on their heart so that that can be done, and so that you can lift that burden off of them and that they can be healed totally, Lord. And God, we just thank you for working through doctors and medicine. And but God, we thank you for working sovereignly and for being a miracle working God, Lord, that we can turn to first before we turn to the doctors. And I just thank you for that. And God, I just thank you for what you do tonight. And Holy Spirit, whatever I don't know or haven't forgotten, I just ask in Jesus' name that you would do that and make it right. And I just thank you in advance for the miracles that you would work even before we see them. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.